Okay, I'll be reading from Psalm 13, and that's the psalm we'll look at this evening. Congregation, hear the word of God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. John Calvin wrote of the Psalms, and you may have heard this quote before, "There is not an emotion of which anyone can be conscious that is not represented in the Psalms as in a mirror. Or rather, the Holy Spirit here has drawn all the griefs, sorrows, fears, doubts, hopes, cares, perplexities, in short, all the distracting emotions with which the minds of men are wont to be agitated. There is nothing you could feel or go through that is not reflected in the book of Psalms. The Psalms is the devotional book for God's people. It's a devotional book of their public devotion as they gather and their private devotion as they walk with the Lord. There are three types of Psalms. There's Thanksgiving Psalms, where God has delivered the person the prayer from somebody, from something, and then they give thanks for that deliverance. There's the praise psalms, where God's people come together and praise the Lord. And then there are the lament psalms, where God's people or an individual cries out to God. Psalm 13 is a lament psalm. It's a psalm of David. He's been many years on the run. He's in the wilderness. He has been chased by Saul's army. So we know the story, if that's exactly what it's referring to. He cries out to God in his lament. Now, the Psalms are purposely vague. In other words, the psalmists never give details of what exactly is happening. Names are not given. We never know who it is that is trying to hurt the psalmist. We are only given very general descriptions. But the Psalms are vague for a reason, because they are written for all God's people to appropriate for their own situations. We would not relate if David's confession of sin had to do only with Bathsheba. Most of us would never be in that experience, but it can happen. But all of us have sin to confess. So we can all take his confession psalm and use it as ours. In the same way, most of us have not been chased by a general and we're hiding in a cave somewhere. But we all have enemies. We all have people or other things like a loneliness, guilt, family difficulties, physical ailments, the sin in your life. Whatever it is, anything that can threaten our relationship with God and discourage us are our enemies. And that way, the Psalms are so vague that we can read them and appropriate each one for our own situations. So the Psalms show us that we are to bring all of ourselves to God in prayer when we are wanting to praise him, as well as our distresses, sadnesses, or even when we're doubting God and his promises. Now, often you'll hear pastors say something like, when church begins, "Leave all your worries aside and now come worship the Lord." But that's really not what the Psalms do not teach us, do they? We cannot leave all the worries of the week behind. We're not Buddhists. We don't reach a place of enlightenment where we're just floating above it all. In worship, we bring all of our fears and worries to the Lord. The Lord doesn't ask us to set them aside. He calls us to come to Him with them. And that's exactly what David does. We see in Psalm 13 that at this point, it feels like for David that God had forgotten him. And so he cries out, "Where are you, Lord?" It seemed God was hiding his face, not showing his favor, not bringing about the promises to take care of him. Now, all of us can relate to that at some level where we begin to doubt God is with us and that he loves us and he's providing for the situation. When that happens, the Psalms tell us to bring that to God. Do not hide it from God, but bring those doubts into your prayers. Some would say, well, that's not very spiritual to pray that way. Well, David's prayer here is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So don't try to be more holy than David. David is teaching you how to pray even in those situations. Some say we should just praise him and trust the Lord. But David is honest about his doubts, and he brings them to God. And sometimes Calvinists will say things like, well, we just trust the will of God, whatever God's going to do. But David's not like that, is he? He brings his doubts and fears to the Lord. And he does it continually. Continue to cast his cares and fears upon the Lord. So in the first part of the psalm, verses 1 and 2, David brings his lament. He feels like God has left him and is not providing. And then in part 2, verses 3 or 4, he gives a plea or a cry for help. In light of the fact that I feel like you're not with me anymore, Lord, answer my prayer. Enlighten or light up my eyes. That phrase, light up my eyes, means lift me up from this discouragement and sadness. Eyes often reveal inward pain. Somebody you know can, if you know them well, you can just look at that, look at them at times. And in their eyes, you can think, something's wrong. And so David is saying, my eyes reveal the heart. So please lift me out of this discouragement and doubt I have for you. And then he cries out, let not the enemy prevail. That's really a summary of all your cries for help. Whatever the enemy is, a person trying to hurt you, your own discouragements in life, let not my enemy overwhelm me where I give up on following you. I need your help, O Lord. That's how David regularly prayed to God. And that teaches us, because this is inspired by the Spirit, how we should be talking to God in this honest way. Now in verses 5 and 6, that's the third part of the psalm, David gives a declaration of trust. Verse 5, I have trusted in your steadfast love. David begins to look back before this incident to God's faithfulness in the past. Maybe God's faithfulness in bringing Israel out of Egypt, or God's faithfulness in creation, or maybe when he was young and he would defeat God would protect him from the lions. Or maybe when he defeated Goliath, he begins to think back on how God was true to his word in other situations. And that begins to encourage him that God has shown himself in the past. And God has promised to put David on the throne. It didn't seem like that would ever happen as he's overwhelmed by an army hiding in a cave. But he looks back at how else God has been faithful, and he declares that God will do it again. And when we doubt the Lord, the best place to look back is to Calvary, is the cross. That's where God showed his love for me, by dying on the cross as the Son of Man for our sins. And so notice how David says, I have trusted you. You have borne me up. And so at the cross, God became our Father, our friend, our provider. And that's where we have to go when in our temporary situation, we begin to doubt. We go back to his greatest display of love and faithfulness for us. And if he did that for us, then certainly he will provide in our present situation. Now, this type of psalm raises a question. Is David trusting or is David filled with despair? And what's the answer according to this psalm? Both. Both are happening here at the same time. Martin Luther wrote, sometimes hope despairs and despair hopes. Even in the midst of despair, we can have a flicker of hope. And even when we have hope, we can feel despair. Now, David is feeling far from God. That's how he begins the psalm. But there's faith involved here, because what's he doing? He's praying. Praying itself is an act of faith. He's not giving up on God. He's not looking to other gods. He is praying. So there's an act of faith in the midst of feeling like God has abandoned him. And so at the end of the psalm, David closes with a vow of praise. Often in the lament psalms, it'll end with a vow. After giving a description of the problem and asking God for help, the psalmist will often make a vow, when you deliver me from this present crisis, I will thank you for it. I'm making a vow now that I will go among God's people and lift up my voice and thank you when you deliver me. Those are the vows that the psalmist would make in the midst of trial. And really, that's what you do every time you gather on Sunday at church. You are thanking God for getting you through the week. He is still your God. Here you are praising him. And now in public with your brothers and sisters, you're fulfilling your vow. You're lifting up your voice and singing and praying. And you're saying, thank you for delivering me another week. And of course, these vows ultimately come true at the return of Christ, where our whole life is now, we've been delivered from all of our troubles. And then we raise our voice in praise to the Lord. Now, it's important to remember that Christ is the subject of all the Psalms. The Psalms is the most quoted book in the New Testament. And almost every time the New Testament quotes a psalm, that psalm is fulfilled in the life of Christ. And so often when the Lord Jesus is suffering, it'll say something like, this is so the psalm would be fulfilled, and then a quote from a psalm. That means that David is writing this prophetically. He's not just writing about himself, but David would picture the coming deliverer. So what happens to David will happen to Christ. And so Christ takes these words and they become his words. Well, where did Jesus feel abandoned by the Father? Where does he cry out a psalm like this? Well, on the cross, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? So now with this psalm, we have insight into the sufferings of our Savior. When Jesus identified with us and took our sins on himself, he felt forsaken by God. He only felt God's judgment, but not his fatherly love at that time. And so we learn that it's okay to pray this way because Christ prayed this way. And because we are in Christ, because our sins have been taken care of through his death, God becomes our God, and we have this type of relationship with him. We can come to him with very honest prayers in our weaknesses. because that's what Christ established on the cross. He purchased for us this type of intimacy and honesty that David is expressing in Psalm 13. And so because of Christ, because we now have this eternal relationship with God, and he loves us even in all our weakness, we can come to the Lord even in lament, bring our sadnesses, our fears, our doubts, our worries to the Lord. And we don't have to act like, well, we've done it once, we should be all better, because there are a lot of lament psalms, which means David keeps bringing his worries, and fears back to the Lord. But we know from the Psalms that God loves these prayers, these type of honest prayers, because he inspired a whole book of them. And that's our example of our devotional life to the Lord. This is the type of relationship that Christ purchased for us. And so let's thank him now in prayer. Our Father, we do admit that sometimes it's difficult to be honest in our prayers, and we can be very surface. But we thank you that David teaches us to be honest, even when we are in doubt, and that you receive these prayers. Help us to benefit and take advantage of this great blessing that Christ has bought for us, this type of honest relationship with our God. And so may we pray like this when we are praising, thanking, or lamenting. For Christ has purchased this and invites us to this type of prayer. So it is in his name we ask. Amen.